ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Quick Smart, and you're listening to our summer season. We'll return with fresh episodes soon, but in the meantime, please enjoy our special curation of our favourite Quick Smart episodes. One of the most offensive and hateful words in the English language has undergone a serious rebrand. I'm talking about the C word. And if you've been paying attention to K-pop girlies Leslie Bibb's White Lotus Bob or the premise of RuPaul's Drag Race, you'll have noticed it too. So how did this curse word become a compliment? If you haven't already guessed, we'll be discussing some strong language. I'm Siobhan Marin, this is Quick Smart, the show that feeds you big ideas in bite-sized pieces. What's the history of the C word? How has its meaning transformed? And why is the media so hesitant to say, see you next Tuesday? Someone who's been watching this cultural shift closely is journalist and host of ABC TV's Creative Types, Virginia Trioli. Hello, Virginia.
Siobhan, how nice to talk to you. Hello.
When I was growing up, I was told the C word was pretty much the worst thing you could ever utter. Mm. When did you come across it and what sort of weight did it carry?
Well, I think my very first awareness of it actually, and this is where I'm maybe in a lucky position, came courtesy of Jermaine Greer, who claimed it right at the beginning. And she was wearing T-shirts that had Sea Power written on them and was trying to get that word back and was trying to stop the idea of the vagina being the most appalling thing and the most appalling place and take that back for her. So I sort of had a shadow of that over me as a kid growing up in the 70s. And so therefore it was never, ever the worst word, even though I knew that it was. And that, you know, I would get into the most trouble if I was ever caught uttering that word. And that's what people called each other, men in particular, called each other when they were really angry at each other. But I never had that relationship with it. And at university, that's the word that we use to describe our genitalia. You know, we would never dream of using the word pussy or anything like that. That to us was actually a word that had come to us from men.
Mm-mm. Virginia, in previous generations, swearing used to be seen as inappropriate for most people, but particularly women. I think now we're much more accepting, but I'm interested in your thoughts on where the lines are. For instance, you were a breakfast newsreader for many years, and it would have been, you would have been admonished if you ever said the C word on air.
So, absolutely, yeah.
What are those lines?
I think they're generational still. I wrote a column about this for ABC Online and about the cultural moment that this word is having and the shift. And it was interesting when I posted it on my social feeds, the responses. So women who are more of my generation were all up in, yeah, me too, and I use it all the time. And nada. Women who were older were still appalled. And a couple of them admonished me for using it and said, you know, I would never use it and my daughter would never use it either and we can't you find something better to write about? So there's still that. I think there's still an absolute media hypocrisy about it. Yes, I think I'd still be admonished today if I used that on air and I wouldn't and I'd observe that. But I think there's a hypocrisy around what it's supposed to represent. And therefore, the media not interrogating the fact that this thing, which started out as just an anatomical word to describe a vagina, has morphed into, as you started our conversation, Siobhan, the worst word to describe the worst thing in the world. There's a total hypocrisy about the media recognizing that's what it is. That's the only thing that makes it the so-called worst word, the acceptance that it is and that it's been constructed that way over centuries by blokes.
Yeah, absolutely. There is the feminist reclamation of the word, which has been, as you say, going on for decades. But we've seen something quite interesting happen in the past 10 years or so. I mean, for me, it's RuPaul's Drag Race, which I'd say redefined my relationship with the C word because the show celebrates queens with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Notice the acronym. Which TV shows or public figures have you been noticing that have changed perceptions around this previously unsayable word.
Someone who I think has made huge inroads into making a lot of women more comfortable with this word is Olivia Colman, who, of course, is an actress that we just adore from The Crown and from The Favourite in particular. And that's where, you know, her use of the word I think is really great too. She was doorstop somewhere, I think it was on a red carpet, and, you know, and asked 10 quick questions. Favourite swear word. And she said it without hesitation and with a big smile on her face and said, I love that word. And you could tell that, yeah, okay, maybe she used it as a swear word, but she also used it as a word of great affection. And you've seen more and more people actually come through and do that. There's been another very big cultural shift, though, that I'm aware of. And I wasn't initially aware of it until something happened with the White Lotus, but we can talk about those shifts as well.
Yes, tell us more. Everybody is obsessed with White Lotus, of course. But there's a specific hairstyle I think you're referencing.
There's a specific hairstyle, and this is a really wonderful story, I think. I love this one. So, and I didn't sort of realise it when it came along. But Leslie Bibb, who is one of the actors in The White Lotus, she's one of the three girlfriends, was given a specific haircut for her character by Chris McMillan, who's a celebrated celebrity hairstylist and actually the originator of probably one of the most famous hairstyles in all modern television history, and that's the Rachel that was given to Jennifer Aniston in Friends. And so he gave Leslie Bibb what he called a cunty little bob, which is a sharp little bob parted in the centre, has a whole lot of attitude and swing to it. And this notion and also some video of it that went on social media went, to use the terrible term, viral, and immediately shared with a whole wider community the notion that that term referred to something that had attitude and style and was, you know, presented you to yourself to the world exactly as you wanted to be. And I just loved it. But I realized then in digging into it that it had an older history. And it's a term that's been used by K-pop singers to describe their look, their bob, their bobbed hair, but also their dressing style with cute little skirts and long shorts and great jackets and jewelry as that sort of style as well. And I thought that was fascinating. Mm. And fascinating coming from reasonably younger women, but who are tremendously talented and successful, who at first glance you might think would shy away from that term. But they didn't have all the meaning loaded onto it in South Korea like we did in Western culture. And they just saw it as a really sexy, sassy term. And I loved that.
Yeah, exactly. Are you familiar with the history of the word that shall not be named?
Oh, look, a little bit. And I think what's really interesting about it is that it's very deep and very long. Many of us might know a Shakespearean reference or a reference to the Middle Ages when that word, spelt with an E on the end, was actually a commonly used word, both to talk about the vagina, and then, you know, later on it starts to morph into something that might be a little bit offensive, but really it's anatomical. But it actually goes a lot longer back than that. There is a Hindu goddess, I'm going to pronounce it Kunti, just so you know, K-U-N-T-I, or the great Yoni of the universe, who's sort of been referenced in Hindu texts really between 200 and 400 BC. And so that's a powerful matriarchal goddess figure. So you can see there where it all begins, right? Just as the Impressionist painter Gustave Courbet painted an anatomically accurate rendering of a woman's vagina and called it the origin of the world, that's clearly where the idea of turning that word and applying it to the anatomy comes from, because you've got this powerful goddess who represents that, who represents, you know, the strong female force in the universe. And I think that's really fascinating, isn't it, when the term starts to be turned around and becomes one of insult.
Mm.
You can only imagine, can't you, that at some point someone got their nose out of joint, that word was associated with universal power, the origin of life, the origin of birth, and started to get perhaps a little resentful at that and turned it into something really nasty.
Yeah, and on that note, for you, what does it say about Western society that the most heinous thing you can utter is a reference to a female body part?
It answers itself, right? That's where the patriarchy still lives in language, lives in the way that it speaks of and about women, and that it's persistent. And I think it's why it's really, really important to grab those words and take them back. I was talking to a friend of mine. We're making a plan together, and she was, you know, clearly, I think, getting a little frustrated with me that it wasn't working. She said, okay, well, if we don't do this, how about we do that? And she laid out a plan that was a pincer move that absolutely, you know, pinned me in the moment to make a decision. And I saw what she was doing. It was so clever. And I was so full of admiration. And it was also such a kind of a bitch move. And I turned to her with a huge smile and I said, you are such a C. And she laughed and I laughed and we made the plan together. And that moment with two very dear friends who really care for each other, I reckon that's the perfect encapsulation of where we have taken that word now, where it recognises our orneriness and it recognises where we can arc up and be a bit difficult, and it's full of admiration and love too.
Well, Virginia, thank you so much for bringing your charisma, uniqueness, nerve and talent to QuickSmart. It's been a pleasure.
It's been so nice chatting to you, Siobhan. Thanks so much.
QuickSmart was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. If you like this chat, send it to your most charismatic, unique friend. And if you're after something more demure, check out our episode on how teenage girls are shaping our vocabulary. We'll put a link to that and Virginia's ABC article in our show notes. Thanks to my producer, Jesse Kay. And if you have any feedback or ideas for future QuickSmart episodes, drop us a line at quick.smart@abc.net.au.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.